Okay, I'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021, at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Jergens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Byers. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held October 20th, 2021. Approve all claims through November 3rd, 2021 in the amount of $505,940.57. Accept claim number 2111-0065 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,985.37 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1223 to Northern Natural Gas. They'll be excavating, evaluating, and repairing an anomaly found next to the buried main pipeline. Excavation and access will be in West Greater Ditch along South 23rd Road, approximately 1,775 feet north of Highway 136 and Highway 4, located in Section 36, Southeast Quarter, Township 4 North, Range 6 East of Midland Township. Approve utility permit number 1224 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC. They'll be adding permanent service to 26452 Southwest 61st Road. Windstream will start at pedestal 5045/40EF, bore a 2-inch diameter by 5-foot deep line under Scott Street, and then start to plow 3-inch trench by 48-inch deep line in the West Greater Ditch, plowing around culvert, and stop plowing 680 feet north of Scott Street. From this location, Windstream will then bore a 2-inch diameter by 5-foot deep line under Southwest 61st Road to the east side of the road and continue to bore into private property for new service to 26452 Southwest 61st Road. Once completed, Windstream will pick up all temporary cable. This project's located in the south in Section 31, Southwest Quarter, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland Township. Appointing Gage County Highway Superintendent as the floodplain administrator. Approve receiving 2021 distress warrant list. And approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of October 2021.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on any item on the consent agenda? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2111-0065 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,985.37. This brings the total amount of claims approved through November 3rd, 2021 to $507,925.94. This is a company I own.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? Mr. Lauby, will you give your name and address for the record, please?
I will. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Gregory C. Lauby, 312 North 10th, Wymore, Nebraska. And I am here today to request that your upcoming meeting agenda include a consideration of a resolution requesting Senator Myron Dorn introduce a bill to increase the amount of state funds allocated to Gage County for the payment of the outstanding federal judgment and stating that the board will hire a lobbyist to support his efforts to pass the bill. Last Friday, the Nebraska Economic Forecasting Board predicted that the state would collect nearly $11 billion this and the next fiscal year. Instead of a projected revenue shortfall, the unbudgeted $902 million increase is expected. The state's rainy day fund should increase by $475 million to total $1.47 billion. And an additional $313 million is expected to be available for the legislature to allocate in the upcoming legislative session. While state tax revenues soar, the 2020 Federal Farm Service Agency Crop Summary Report for Gage County shows that farm operators, including renters, declined from the 2016 total of 1,447 to 1,217 in 2020, a loss of 230, or a 15.8% reduction. And the number of county farms decreased by 268 between 2016 and 2020. Rural agricultural property valuations have declined, but in 2020, rural property still was 71% of the county's total assessed valuation. Agricultural property was 57% of that valuation. Clearly, rural residents are bearing the major burden of paying the judgment and its costs. But it's not just farmers or even rural residents that are unfairly penalized by their location. Area businesses, homeowners, and renters are all subject to the highest county tax rates in the state without a corresponding increase in income or services. Those tax levels also reduce the vitality of recruitment efforts for new businesses and the necessary labor. If the outstanding debt, including attorney's fees and interest, is between $10 and $12 million, and the county again collects and pays another $4.6 million from property and sales tax, and the state payment of $2 million is also applied to the judgment as budgeted, it appears that that would reduce the outstanding balance to somewhere between $4 and $6 million. The county and the state could combine available funds and make full payment by the end of this present fiscal year. The funds are available. It just comes down to priorities. By last February, there were 394 lobbyists protecting the interests of 560 principals. Unicameral lobbyists included NACO and the League of Nebraska Municipalities, but individual counties, cities, and schools all saw fit to hire lobbyists. Lobbyists and lawyers had lobbyists. Given the failure to pass the bill approved by the Appropriations Committee last spring, we believe Gage County would be well served by a lobbyist to find the votes necessary to secure additional funding from the additional state tax revenues. I hope at your next meeting you will favorably consider formally requesting Senator Dorn to address the needs of taxpayers for relief, coupled with your commitment to supplement his efforts by hiring a lobbyist. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lobby. Any other comments from the public for anything not on the agenda coming up? All right. With that, we'll move into committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights.
Dave.
Morning, Good Mr.
Morning.
Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Winter lights is
Coming up soon, November 21st, Sunday, is when the lights will go on. This year we talked during our Winter Lights Committee to put a wreath on the north side. We've never had one on the north. There's one on all the other sides. And such as welding said that they would be happy to donate materials and labor to make a six-foot wreath. So I appreciate that. And we have it ready to go. And Sean Van Lanningham, when he does checks on all the lights, he will install that. So otherwise, the signs went up. The sheriff's has their safe parking zone across the street. I contacted Purple Wave on the Wymore antenna tower, and they did relist it from the old listing, so it's just kind of a repeat. That tower was paid for but was never picked up, and so we're just going to relist it again.
Dave, what time are the holiday lights? What time does that program start?
5:30 is when it starts, and the lights come on at 6 o'clock.
I did see your tower on Purple Wave already.
Okay. Yeah, I think he just probably listed it yesterday. I think. Mm-hmm. Try that again. And then I did bring up...
if we keep getting income, we could just keep selling it all.
Yes, if we keep selling it to people that don't ever come to pick it up.
You need that tower at your place.
No.
I talked about if we could order the limestone that would be needed to fill in the void if we remove that shed on the north side. That used to be the old, it was a coal chute originally, and then it turned into a garbage shed. It's kind of been an eyesore for many years. And just to take that off, and we would enclose it behind, and then just this coming spring have them install the limestone for that. And... extension, I was going to give an extension office update. It didn't work out with the extension office. They would like to come to a building and grounds meeting and just kind of bring up some things that they'd like to have done out there. And it would mainly be with the entry doors and some new flooring around the entry doors and a counter, kind of change the entrance when you come in to have a longer counter there.
I wanted to tell you, I've been getting real positive comments on what you've done on the Evidence Building and around there with that. That just looks so nice, Dave.
Thank you. Yeah, that I think that helped a lot, and I have the tree sitting in back. I just need to get them in the ground yet, so we'll get those planted as soon as we can. Thank you.
Looking good. Thank you.
Anything else for Building and Grounds? All right. Thank you. Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. Correctional Risk Services Incorporated. Inmate Medical, $14,336.49. Southeast Nebraska CASA funding, $10,000. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $24,062. Manili Wagner and Associates Engineering and Consulting, $16,186.34. That is it.
I'd still like to. Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Human Resources, Employee Relations. We aren't really dealing with anything. We have an item we'll be talking about later on the agenda. Law enforcement, emergency management. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, everyone. I think most everybody's here for committee meetings Monday. We'll recap real quick here. As Dave said, the safe zone parking over here on the east parking lot from the Sheriff's Office in the southeast corner has got two stalls there. So we're hoping people take advantage of that for children exchanges through custody situations, divorces, e-commerce situations, just whatever might come up. They want to have something recorded. It's lit and recorded 24/7. So we hope that will get people to take full advantage. We'll be watching that, yes. I hope they smile when they look the directions so we know.
That was on the radio, though. They went through the rules, kind of broke it all out. That sounds really good.
Hopefully it's for any purpose other than illegal. And if it is, then we'll try to address that as quick as we can. I've been informed last week the city is going to start charging for our range usage out here. They're apparently going to upgrade it, and everybody that uses it puts funds into it, then we have to have a certified range officer with us. So before all that transpired, we have been working on three other options that we're looking at anyway to maybe work out a little better for us, just come and go as we need to. So working through that, COVID grant money, there are some funds left, and I spoke to the director of the Crime Commission, and baggage screen systems are covered by that. So Sergeant Davidson, with the help of Lisa, are kind of working through that process and get that applied for the funds to go away at the end of the year. So we're trying to hit that and to see if we can get that system. Parts for the vehicles, and we got the new ones. I told about 2 to 4 weeks away is where it's at for parts, at least right through a total last time. So as you know, with everything else, it's just a wait-and-see game. So, and then last week, we participated in the night of the Great Pumpkin downtown. We had about 3 vehicles out there, and about 5 of us. Most of us were on our own time, and so it was a good time. A lot of kids come through, and we just had just a little candy left over, and it was about it. So even with the pieces some of us took once in a while throughout the evening, so. But it's really, really well received. So that's all I have.
Some good PR there. Thank you, Sheriff.
Good PR. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning, Lisa.
Yeah, good morning. So I'm just going to touch a little bit about the COVID clinic coming up as far as for a booster shot, which we have scheduled Saturday at the fairgrounds. 9 o'clock to noon is when it's scheduled. No appointments are needed, so this is a booster clinic primarily, but if someone walks in and wants to get their first or their second shot follow-up, that is fine too. So all 3 vaccinations will be available. In terms of the decision that if that individual makes on what kind of booster that they want, that's entirely up to them. They would just report that to the Public Health Solutions nurses there. So they are the acting party for this particular clinic. So then for those individuals that can't make it, we do have our first responders all scheduled for that. So those individuals, those fire guys, EMS people that were able to get it early in December, January, and February have this opportunity if they haven't gotten it already. So they are, again, no appointments are needed. However, your pharmacies, also the immunization clinic, also has the shots available. Then it moves to Saline County on the following Friday, and then every one of our counties, Thayer, Jefferson, and Fillmore, will have Saturday clinics too. So that opportunity comes for others. We hope that we'll get that opportunity for it to come back to us, you know, the middle of December again, but that's truly under the direction of Public Health Solutions. A couple other things, I guess. We talked a long time about stream gauge funding, and I reported at the Wednesday or the Monday meeting that all the funding is secured now for that. So hopefully those relationships will continue for years to come. Nutrien, also Koch Industries, and then Farmers Cooperative came forward to help fund the turkey stream gauge. Hopefully that relationship continues. And on the zoning side, we are scheduled for next Tuesday night, which is the 9th, for our next meeting. And on the agenda, we do have a permit for a commercial agricultural business, which would be an anhydrous pneumonia plant, a holding station, filling station up in the Adams Township, which is on the Gage-Lancaster County line. So it did involve other governing bodies within Lancaster County to also be a part of that planning process. And so that's on the agenda as far as right now. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Okay. Pavers has completed overlays. Striping will follow, as well as shouldering. Dirt crew will be shouldering on Holmesville and Pickerel Blacktops. Saline County contacted Mark about doing some bridge match programs, and the bus bridge has been inspected and design work is being done.
There were some complaints by the person typing these up that the notes were unreadable.
What was that?
Cleaned up a little.
apparently unreadable by the person that wrote it, too.
That's why one of the sentences is only halfway, because I couldn't read it.
I think that was supposed to say organized. I'm not sure.
Didn't he get a computer?
I can't type like that. That's shorthand. I'll try to teach you that later. All right. Up next we have, I wanted to talk about this too. Mr. Schuler had asked about sending out notices to people about noxious weeds, mowing your roadsides, trees, and this and that. I talked to the treasurer to see if we could put those out in the letters that go out with the tax statements. They were already folded, stuffed, and ready to go, but they did include this in there. So we will have a letter that has each of the statutes listed for, you know, the trees, the bushes, stuff like that. Talks about mowing the roadsides, duties of the landowner. So even though we told them too late, they did have it in there for us.
So they had a letter already.
It's already in there.
Impose one.
Right. It is in there already. It's just text, so it's nothing flashy and fancy to catch their eye, but hopefully they read it and the information is there. So as you're sending the letters out that says, hey, we need to get this up and taken care of, they are still receiving notice every year on that. So it's an automatic. It goes out every year.
I was going to say, it wasn't, I believe, last year, but it was purple.
So it is a different color, at least. I mean, it should catch some.
Maybe next year we'll use a different font.
Nothing but the best, Mark.
It'd be nice not to have to send it out next year.
You're in Nebraska. It should be red.
Red paper.
With that, we will move on to Trevor Lee, our Engage Executive Director. He's going to present his quarterly report for us.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all.
Good morning. Would you give us your name and address for the record, please, Trevor?
Trevor Lee, 2006 Country Meadows Place here in Beatrice. So within your packets, you should have the first quarterly report from our fiscal year 21-22. Same format as usual. This is fresh off of the strategic planning session that we did late this summer with the Engage board. So it's a bit more in depth as far as the priority areas and the activities. But as we move forward through the year, I'll report kind of with this template like we have in the past so you can see kind of ongoing activities. To touch on the priorities, nothing has really changed. But I think the order of the priorities has changed. So the big three are still business retention and expansion. As you know, 80% of the jobs created come from existing businesses, so that's always our focus. Recruitment certainly has changed as a result of COVID. It's more or less not the recruitment of businesses as so much as it is the recruitment of capital investment with 1.8% unemployment rate. You know, the jobs are there, the people are not, so you're seeing a lot more automation, a lot more investment in facilities, which still is a win for our county as far as growing the tax base, and hopefully as we see what this post-COVID economy looks like, more and more people will fill those jobs. The third one that I think I know we've given more attention and we will continue to do so is the workforce piece, the talent piece. And there's no silver bullet, unfortunately, but there's a lot of creative things people are doing out there. For us, we've identified schools and school work and youth work connection as something that we could excel at. We already kind of had a format for doing things like manufacturing in the past. So our efforts have been focused on expanding those things as well as looking at other quality of life issues such as childcare, which I've talked about before. In that cover letter, and I'll really just kind of touch on those things. In October, we had Manufacturing Day. We did not do that last year due to COVID. So we expanded that. I think we're going to expand it more, but we had over 90 students from three Gage County schools look at four facilities over the course of 2 days. We had to do it two separate days because of the turnout. And we're going to expand that further. We're looking to do one in the spring as well, and also opening that up to the non-traditional students, homeschool students, parochial students, those. Were you just stretching? Okay. So that was exciting. Exciting to see that many kids and that many schools involved. We've had a lot of great conversations with ESU 5, Beatrice Public Schools, that I don't know. It had been some time since those conversations happened. Any chance we get to speak with teachers, we do. I mentioned in there, I think I had a typo, the October CSE CTE did an engaged presentation and helped with a panel. That's the career and technical education that ESU 5 puts on for not just ESU 5 instructors, but ESU 4, 5, and 6. I mentioned the child care. We did receive the Communities for Kids grant, so that was a $30,000 grant awarded through the Nebraska Children and Families Foundation. That is a three-year process whereby their team travels to Beatrice or Gage County and with stakeholders around the table really helps us to take stock of how we're doing for our kids, ages 0 through 5, with an eye towards child care. We could not go countywide geographically. It was not feasible for their program, but we did want to go beyond Beatrice, so we looked at demographics. We're focusing on Beatrice, Blue Springs, Wymore area for that process. So I don't know what that's going to result in. The next step will be a community meeting on November 16th, Southeast Community College Academic Excellence Building with the stakeholder core team, and I believe the next step will be more of a community-wide survey for Beatrice, Blue Springs, Wymore. The nice thing about that process is it's not just business leaders and not just instructors. It's the whole gamut of stakeholders, child care providers, teachers, human service or human resources folks, and, yes, business leaders.
But you're communicating with the school district on this?
Oh, absolutely, yep. They're at the table.
Okay.
For the project, yep. What else? On the recruitment side, if you recall, we had the grant from Nebraska Public Power District for the master planning Hickory Industrial Site. That deliverable was due last Friday. It has not been received, so we are currently working with consultants to get that resolved. We have met with landowners and expect that those options will be renewed for the 2022 calendar year, and we're also looking at another property within Gage County with fewer obstacles, challenges related to utilities, a more shovel-ready site that we're hoping to secure in 2022, and that is one of our priorities, one of our plans in that document. Business retention expansion visits continue. We're a ways off from our goal for the end of the year, so I expect a blitz of those business visits to take place for Christmas, if at all possible, so we can hit our 40 mark. Still working to coordinate some headquarter visits this 2021-2022 year. And right now we have 13 active projects in the queue that we're working on, and the vast majority of those are with existing businesses, not recruitment projects. That is a summary. Do you have any questions for me or any feedback? I always appreciate that.
Can you tell us anything we're going to be seeing in the next 6 to 12 months?
No.
It's safer for me to ask than say something.
Right. We have some pretty exciting projects in the industrial park with existing businesses that I would like to see made public within the next 6 to 12 months.
And with the federal legislation the president is putting forth, is that something that we can use as far as appealing to workers? And
if you could dissect what that program is, you give me a call.
Okay.
We are always watching that. We really focus more on the state level, and we're fortunate to have good allies with whether it's NACO or the Nebraska Chamber or Nebraska Economic Developers Association, kind of dissect it.
While the news media says they're working with the state and with the governor, yeah, relative to this issue, so.
Yep, we're watching the ARPA money pretty closely.
Okay.
Our challenge is we don't own any water systems or sewers. A lot of that's infrastructure, right? And unless you want to do, I don't know what county it was, you just do $10,000 raises for everybody. But
moral, believe me, I've had plenty of input from county employees about what Morrill County has done.
Okay, you can't blame them. It's been a hard year, Eric.
Seward's doing it also. Well, Don, if everybody jumped off a bridge.
Let's use it or lose it. So,
hopefully something I will have you probably get in touch with Diode and some of the other people, too,
mm-hmm,
for infrastructure here in our community.
Right.
Maybe make sure I get a hold of you this week. There's a meeting I'm going to meet with Diode. There's some other local companies that want to meet as well and go over potential mm-hmm plans for fiber to our rural areas and rural residents. So that's something I should probably get you involved in, too.
I would like that. We've had some meetings with multiple providers we're in an interesting spot where we have a lot of fiber run out, even just Beatrice. Throughout Beatrice, it's all strung up, and it's not hooked up, right? And try to get another company to come into our county to add more fiber, it's a challenge for them when their competitor is already there. So by the time they're planning and building it out, that other competitor can start offering it right away. So that is a challenge. But, yeah, I'd be interested to be part of that discussion.
We'll talk about that. That's next week, and I think we'll have more discussions too. And you might be able to implement those with each of the providers, mm-hmm. because we want all potential private business to fight over this money and try to get the most bang for our buck.
Absolutely.
Any questions for Trevor? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'd ask for a motion to put this quarterly report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
That's up not what the board said.
Up next, Sheriff Gustafson and Sergeant Rue to present the annual statistics report for the Sheriff's Office and Detention Center.
Good morning to the board.
And screening station.
Sheriff's going to pass out a packet for you. He's got
Sergeant.
Some statistics on there for you guys. We'll run through those statistics real quick with you. I know you can read, but I can also give you some verbal and any explanation, any of those numbers for you. It's going to be pretty mind-numbing, but we'll go through it. So in this spreadsheet we got from last year's 2019 to 2020, it would be from October to September, and then we have 20 to 2021 there. If you noticed, all the numbers throughout the whole thing is went down through the year. It's a little confusing because COVID started in 2019, and you would think those numbers would be lower than the 20 to 21 coming out of COVID a little bit, but it's actually the opposite of that. So first one was bookings for males. We had a total of 717 males last year, or 2019, 20 year, and then to 570 females was 291 to 218, totaling 1,008 last, and this year's was 788. Total charges was just over 1,500, and for this year it was just almost 800. We go to arresting agency. The sheriff's office still kept pretty busy. Last year was 554. This year is 447. Beatrice PD was 351 to 249. Wymore Police was 18 to 7, and the NSP was 33 to 18. Total arrests per agency was 956 to 721. Our average population in 2019 to 20 was 33. 20 to 21 was 26. That number started to creep up. We're currently at 35, I believe. Probably be more around 35 to 37 by the end of the day. So it fluctuates pretty quick. It can jump back down below 30 quite often. So those numbers have stayed lower, which is in return saved us some money. So total transport miles from last year's was 40,000 average. This year's was 28,000, and that's due to a population decrease. A little bit of money income for fingerprints. Last year we made 1,300. This year was a little over 1,800. Phone usage, which is just in-house only, went down. It was 4,100 to 2,800. Those numbers can fluctuate so much. You can literally have one inmate in there for 6 months. It'll drop $1,000 or more on phone time. It just depends on who's in there. Commissary income went up. It was a little over 2,300 to 4,600. Income from visitation, that would be remote visitation, which we started when we had the COVID hit. That was from $505 to $75. We just get a percentage from the company that we use, Cidnet. Total income from last year was $8,300. This year, $9,300. For outside spending on holds, that dropped dramatically, about $110,000, due to the population being lower, from $238,000 to almost $129,000. When it comes to medical categories and emergency medical general care non-contractual, it went from $64,000 to $42,000. Vision was $726 to nothing. Dental was $1,900 to $235. and medical for outside holds was $45,000 to $3,900, totaling last year's $112,000 compared to this year's $46,000. A lot of that comes down to new doctors, new nurses. We fluctuate a lot with that, and we have a revolving door, unfortunately, with medical care. So each doctor or nurse has different views on what they want to do with their inmates. And for the county's sake, a lot of times we want to, you know, be a little bit conservative. And right now we have a doctor that was doing that for us. So if you have any questions, I will say I forgot to mention the critical care savings that's in there. That's a CRS program that we pay for every year. It's kind of like an emergency thing where if it gets over a certain amount of money, they kick in and they'll help pay for things. We pay about $10,000 a year to have it. And we actually saved about $53,000 this last year from that company. So,
well, I see our loss from burglary and theft is almost $100,000 more than a year ago. And yet our arrests are decreasing rather than charges. Total charges are decreasing rather than increasing. How is this volume of burglary clear up, but our arrests are clear down?
Danny, that would be a question
for the
sheriff.
The sheriff's side, that would be more of the sheriff's question on the burglaries. As for the numbers in the jail, you know, like it literally could be, you know, one case, one individual that, you know, could be $10,000 worth of stuff or more. It just depends on the individual case.
Okay. But
as for the sheriff's office statistics, yeah, the sheriff will clear that up with you more.
Trevor, I see you're wearing a body cam. Do we have body cams on all the corrections offices
yes,
now?
Yes, we do. We've had them for a little while. It took some time to get the technical side figured out, and they finally did probably about, I'd say, 8 to 9 months ago. All staff wear them 24/7. They are told to utilize them as much as possible, and they do, and we save a lot of footage. And so far, I would say they're doing a great job at doing that, and definitely it's one of those cover-your-butts tools, which is very nice to have. And I've had many reports or things that were accused by staff already that, you know, I can go back and prove them wrong right there easily.
I know those cameras are expensive, but I'll say it's a safety feature for staff.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
also
just,
safety
just,
for
just inmates. Just having them on you deters them from doing a lot of, you know, like they change their attitude a little bit and click that on and little red lights on and they'll know they're being watched even more. And it changes it a lot when it comes to the safety wise and then just covering liability for sure.
Any questions for Trevor on the corrections side? Thank you, Sergeant.
Yep, no problem. You guys have a good day.
Well, good morning again. Sergeant Davidson is tied up with court hearings this morning, so I'll fill in for him on his annual report.
Sheriff, I just want to point out a couple things
yes.
on the corrections side real quick. I see corrections is saving money again. Can we expect big dollar savings at the Sheriff's Department, like at the corrections facility?
I'd like to say yes, but I can't lie. That's probably not going to happen. We can try, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Just thought I'd ask. And give
it
you
goes
that
by
chance.
Population base, a lot of it. So, okay, this last annual report for Screen Station was 553 inmates were brought into the courthouse. 9,768 patrons were screened. 123 knives were found. 22 cans of pepper spray were found. 5 cans of beer and 8 unused syringes were found. 44 people were remanded into custody. 29 people arrested on warrants. 14 civil service papers were served. 3 people were cited for driving under suspension and revocation. They were there. 1 person was cited for having a fake driver's license. 1 person was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon and possession of a weapon by a prohibited person. And removed a person from the courthouse that was under influence of drugs. They had conducted courthouse drills, reviewed and practiced emergency procedures. Corrections Officer Kerr also provided refresher training on CPR and first aid for those that can make it from the courthouse. Any questions there?
Unused syringes.
That person that you removed from the courthouse under the influence of drugs, you take them right over and arrest them?
Depends. Had something on them. They weren't driving. Probably they just were escorted out and somehow got a ride home.
You said was under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
So they were under the influence.
They had. They can tell by eye movement and actions. It's just those things that the guy's trained on, they can tell.
So we don't do anything about that?
Not unless there's a violation of law. Being under influence of walking around, pretty hard to do. Just like alcohol used to be an issue. You couldn't do that. Now, they said that was against constitutional right to be in public drunk. So unless you're behind a wheel or disturbing the peace, can't do much with it.
Okay.
So. Okay, moving on to the Sheriff's Office annual. We also were down for a lot of our numbers. Not everything, but some. A lot of that's contributed, I think, to the fact that I haven't had a full staff of deputies for the last year. On calls for service, we had 6,231 last year. This year, we had 5,390. Accidents were 310 last year, down to 275. Citations were 420 last year, down to 213. Warnings were 246. They're up to 351. Arrests were 985 last year. Now, this last time around, is 835. Burglary and thefts, 95 and 93, pretty close. You can see, as Denny was referring to, the number 70,000 last to 164 this time around, and a lot of that just comes down to whether it be economy or what. I know right now catalytic converters are a very hot item, and those add up to a lot of money real fast. We had two or three vehicles stolen, I believe, as well, and whether they're recovered or not, more than likely they're not, if they're still showing in the column here, is not being recovered as far as that goes. We had like 7,715 recovered and a little over 3,000 this time around. So the numbers are up there, and I think a lot of that relates to our drug usage and the things people are doing out there. Papers served were 822 down to 746. Warrants served were 346 to 295. Fees earned was 7,849.87. Compared to now 6,042.41. Mileage earned was 14,020.93, and this time around was 9,270.51. Copies made in the office are $22 compared to $90.75. Distress warrants collected in full was 17,415.01 last time. This time around was 5,797.80. Now, there were no partial pays either year on distress warrants. Town inspections were 13,780 last year. This time around, it was 14,170. We've gone up on town inspections, and we're going to be one of, I think, about six or eight counties in the state doing a pilot program. There have been quite a few coming through the state. We had some here, not a lot, but the larger counties did, where somehow they're generating new VIN numbers, the technology allowed them to really make things look pretty real. And so this is a system we are not sure how it's going to be. It's going to be kind of where you go out and plug in the device we have into the car, and it tells us more internal workings of it, and it can match up. So we'll see how it goes. That's not even set up yet, but it is coming. Money's reimbursed from grants is $625 last year. This year, $3,896.67. There are no meth labs either year. We had 58 drug violations last year and 39 this year. We had nothing for reserve mileage. We had 24 hours this year and 80 the last year on reserves, and that was probably about the last time you'll see that, because I've eliminated that program and notified NERMA as well last week. The LB-51 is just killing us on that, and it's just we can't justify it. He did tell me I'm probably going to be not the last county doing that. It's just it's what it is. And wage an hour is not helping my cause, especially if you have an employee working for you. Then they have to be kind of want to pay to kind of their wage and not a reserve wage. So we're just doing with that program for now. Billing checks, we had 31 last and 19 this time around. And then we're open doors 19 last time and 10 were found open this time around. So any questions?
Your building checks, they do set off alarms.
They can occasionally, yes. Some of the new guys find that out once in a while, but if there's a lot of play in the door, but it's better that than not checking at all. So it's surprising how many we do kind of find open, and they correct that right away. So, okay.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion to put the sheriff's statistics report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Next, discuss and approve or disapprove sending a letter of recommendation to the Nebraska Department of Roads. I think it's the Nebraska Department of Transportation now, to place speed control lighting by Tri-County School. Randy Schleter came and talked to us about the desire of Tri-County School to have 45-mile-an-hour signs that would be on between the hours of 7 and 9, 2:30 and 4:30 during the school year that would lower the speed limit next to Tri-County School to 45 miles an hour from 65 miles an hour on Highway 4. That's a state decision, but as part of the process, they need a letter from Gage County as well as...
It's 103, isn't it?
Is that 103 and not 4?
Yeah, it's 103.
103, I'm sorry. Part of the process would be a letter from Gage County as well as Jefferson County.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to approve by Lytle and a second by Dorn or Haxby. We have a second by Haxby to approve sending that letter. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Along with that, the next items, approve or disapprove the county paying for 1/4 of that installation of approximately $60,000. 1/4 would be up to 1/4 would be $15,000 for the installation of the speed control lighting for Tri-County School.
So does that mean the most we would pay is $15,000?
If you would approve it as written, up to $15,000. So Randy said that they estimated high and thought it would be approximately $60,000. The state's going to pay for half, and he's asking for Jefferson to pay for a quarter and Gage County to pay for a quarter of that. And then it becomes state property, and the state has to maintain it and take care of it. You can change it to anything, though.
I mentioned $10,000.
Mr. Schuler talked about having the school pay for some of it. Ms. Haxby?
I'd like to move to approve as written.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion on this one?
Yes.
Mr. Schuler.
This is a state highway. I feel like the state should be paying for all of it. It is not a county road. We have plenty of things we need to spend our money on. I don't know that we'd contribute $10,000. It's a good, I agree with it. But I don't know if it's what we should be spending our money on.
And this, as written, is $15,000.
Whether it be $15,000 or $10,000. There may be other situations in the county that could arise that we'll be asked. Are we going to be consistent? And are we being consistent? What's been done? I'm a new board member. How has this been looked at in the past? Has it been requested before by others?
I don't remember any requests on signage. The state doesn't necessarily want, I mean, and I'm just giving a little back story on this for anyone that wasn't here. I don't think the state necessarily wants this signage. It's one of those things they're going along with a request. Any additional discussion
on it? But if the total price comes in less, it would go down, right?
Right.
The way it's written, we would be paying up to $15,000 or right, a quarter of what's paid. So, I mean, we can write something on there. We want documentation of what costs.
We're just making the saying we aren't going over $15,000. We're just going up. So it's very appropriate.
Any additional discussion? Seeing none, I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor, with Schuler voting no. Motion carries. Uh, Up next, approve or disapprove memorandum of understanding for community-based juvenile services aid program and adult diversion program. Christina, would you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Christina Lyons. My business address is 320 North 5th, Beatrice, Nebraska.
And you all have a copy of that memorandum in front of you also.
Again, this is just the county is a pass-through for the community justice programming for the Crime Commission. We have to do the three-year plan, which we did last year. We do a grant every year. Now we're on a two-year grant cycle. Last year was the first year. You can see the breakdown of what those grant funds are specifically designed for the different programs in the community through this grant. And you can see next year they will probably be pretty much the same with the changes, just a few changes here and there. That next grant is due December 17th, I believe, and so I'll be coming back for you for approval of that before I submit it. Pretrial diversion services is in there. I coordinate both juvenile and adult, and then monitor that, send in reports, do things like that. Any questions?
One thing. you're missing the why and by for these expenses.
Roger pointed that out, so okay. I have updated copies. So.
And then just there was a question with the on that paragraph. It does say for all the records for that, but in the previous one it says without receipts. Wouldn't these be receipts too?
Okay, these are that paragraph without the receipts. That is the diversion fees that just goes into the county treasurer. Like we had designed it after the audit, I get their fee for service, give it to the county attorney, they drop it in the county treasurer's office.
Okay.
And then at the end of every month, I will do a county claim for that. But I don't need receipts for that. We discussed last time.
Okay. Well, it just looked like this next paragraph, that's what that was. Because it's, I mean, if invoices, contracts, vouchers, records, I mean, that's what that was. So I didn't know, this one included it, and then this one didn't. I just was confused.
So the grant funding, though, which is the next paragraph, I have to give you receipts for all of that.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Emily?
I think so. It was one paragraph after the other, and so
One's on diversion, one's on the grant.
One's on diversion, okay.
One thing to keep in mind, too, we've learned a lot about this since we've looked at it. Christina is technically an employee of the Beatrice Public Schools, so when you present bills to them, we don't pay Christina's expenses. The school, she submits claims to the school for her expenses. So through their claims process, you're submitting your receipts, and thanks to them, they approve it, disapprove it, and then they write the check. We are not taking this money and giving it to Christina, and she's writing stuff. So for accountability, it goes to the school. She submits a claim. The school goes through the claims process. They issue the check. She's not writing checks for these items. So I think that was part of the confusion on this, and as well as not all this is going to labor. This is going to other program items also. So
I was just confused with, like, what said one thing, and then the next paragraph said the other, but that makes sense that it's two different things.
Right.
Okay.
So the diversion dollars, the claim will just say diversion. Beatrice Public Schools will get that check, and that's all. Roger, have you looked at this? I mean, you looked at this memorandum.
Yes. That's
so that'll just be a pass-through. It's not – money comes in. It's just deposited here. It goes right out to the school.
Basically, nothing's changed. She's never got a check.
She never gets it from
this. And there wasn't a misunderstanding. I'll just leave it at that.
My question is why this is a memorandum of understanding starting July 1st, and here we're not getting it until November.
We've dealt with it since July 1st.
She had submit. We've had one. It's been submitted prior to now.
I'm very much in support of this program. I just want to make sure the devil's in the details. So we need to take care of it.
So. And it came about because of our audit. So all documentation will come in with everything, other than diversion. Diversion's just pass through dollars.
And the county, that community justice grant is just passed through dollars too.
But you're still going through a claims process with the school.
Right.
I would love it on the next grant if we're removed from this altogether. But
it can't be.
If you do that, Mr. Chairman, we lose our money.
And we don't want to do that because this has been funded through
the Crime Commission has to go through us. Otherwise, we don't get the money. And the money funds mentoring programs. I mean, this is just a portion of what the money comes in from the Crime Commission. And I would point out to you, the Crime Commission, we have to file, is it quarterly or annual?
Oh,
a report.
We do quarterly reporting on the people that we serve, but I request money on a monthly basis.
Right. But, I mean, we have to account to the Crime Commission. Is it just at the end of the year?
Quarterly.
Okay. So there's another check on top of the school, on top of our office. I mean.
And this is just one of the grants. The school gets block funding, Region 5 block funding, mini grants, things like that. And there are a number of other, Gage County United Way, I get Gage County Foundation grants, big give money. And so this is just a portion of what I do in the community. But it has to go through the county. Otherwise, the Crime Commission does not recognize it.
And the Crime Commission has been paying for this. So Gage County has not been paying for this also.
Right.
That's something else we want to reiterate.
When it was originally designed, the county board at that time says, we'll approve this, but subject to that it doesn't cost the county any money. And despite the growth of the program through more and more people being involved in it, the county still, basically we fund it through the grant writing and the fee program itself. If that ever changes, and it could. We've seen changes here in the last few years as far as the requirements of the grants. And the county may have to start looking at being responsible for some of the costs of this program, and, of course, you'll have to make a decision if you want to continue that program.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jergens, second by Lytle, to approve the memorandum of understanding. And that's just typographical changes is all. Any additional discussion on this MOU? I would ask you, Christina, when you said you'll be back in December, will you talk to the Crime Commission specifically, just make sure we have everything, all our T's crossed and I's dotted, so if there's anything else they need from us on this, just one of those.
If we don't, they will stop funding us. So, yes, all of our I's are.
Because they've been really good. After they told us we didn't, they've continued to fund us for another 5 years. So, I mean, I think this is the last piece of the the request.
This is not a Crime Commission requirement. This is an auditor requirement.
Oh, this isn't required by the Crime Commission?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess with that, any additional discussion on this? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Do you want me to sign
these
quickly?
Thank you for all you do. You work really hard, and this is a wonderful, wonderful program.
Thank you, Denny. I appreciate that. You can, I'll come back down to the clerk's office later and pick them up.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove wind regulations. Where we're at with wind regulations is we had a motion for the initial paperwork given to us by the planning and zoning. We have multiple amendments to the motion to approve that. And I guess at this point in time, we tabled that. So I'm going to open that back up for discussion. We can discuss, approve, or disapprove what we've worked on thus far. The biggest changes we made to the regulations where we increased setbacks to some of the areas. Does anyone want to go into anything specific on the current motion with amendments?
Does everybody have a copy of the current one?
I think so. I should have a copy of what was sent up to Roger, I think, after the last meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then that's gone to Roger for review.
That's what I put on there.
But we aren't necessarily done with what we're working on, so Roger doesn't have anything for us to... He doesn't have a final review because we don't have a final draft to show him yet.
I think the tax view is also looking at a couple items. Yes.
So we can't... We don't have everything yet to present to the attorney's office.
Well, I mean, it's still in process.
It's a work in process, yeah. Work in progress. Do you want to bring up additional items?
I just have two.
Okay.
On page 8.
And for the public, what we did was we went through each item. If there were changes the board wanted to make, we looked at those specifically. We put up a motion for an amendment to the motion. And we voted on each of those separately. So we aren't voting on actual regulations. We're voting on amendments to the motion. So changes to the paperwork given to us by the P&Z. After we're done with any potential changes, we'll have a vote on that motion, which it may pass, it may fail. If it fails, we start over and we start working through what will pass again. Ms. Haxby.
The meteorological tower, so number 13, that was one of those that I was going to come back to because we didn't have a really good answer on how to write that. So I sent a proposal to Roger to look over. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but it was to strike that last sentence of, if the tower is non-functional, it shall be removed after a period of 2 years. So we would strike that and then add the words. Roger, do you have that by chance?
Yeah.
Kind of putting Roger on the spot.
My
here.
Sticky note?
No.
Okay.
That's why I save it.
Within 10 days of being in service, the applicant must notify the planning and zoning administrator. At the end of year 3, the meteorological tower must be completely removed and back in the state it was pre-construction.
We read that again. So this would, the last sentence, if the tower is non-functional, then you
shall
add,
be removed after a period of 2 years. We strike that and then write, within 10 days of being in service, the applicant must notify the planning and zoning administrator. At the end of year 3, the meteorological tower must be completely removed and back in the state it was pre-construction.
Is that a motion to amend item 13?
Yes.
We have a motion by Haxby to amend the last sentence of line 13.
On page 13?
Page 8, item 13, last sentence. And the amendment, it would change it to as read, which would basically you notify them, and
they're notified when it's done being built, and then at the end of year 3, it has to be removed.
Do we have a second?
So it adds that they need to notify.
Second.
It's moved by Haxby, seconded by Byers.
I'm putting a time limit because the discussion was is that after, when it, after it's non-functional, well, how do you know? That was the issue.
Right.
You really don't like those test towers.
3 years.
I guess my question would be, how did you come up with 3 years as...
Well, I, when...
Take them down.
When I listened to a company discuss this in a different county, they were actually trying to get approval of a meteorological tower, and they said they use them 1 to 2 years, sometimes into year three. And this gave a more definitive time frame.
Probably shouldn't let you do that.
Any additional discussion on this motion to amend?
I seconded it.
Is there a benefit to taking them down at 3 years?
Well, it just
leaving
it,
them, or
it just gives a time frame. Otherwise, I mean, after the tower, if the tower is non-functional, it's extremely vague and hard to pinpoint.
I guess playing devil's advocate, is there any way that they can leave it up if they still need it? I mean, is there a way, do you have any issue if they notify us that it's still being used?
The only thing is that when that company discussed this, is most of their use is in that first and second year.
Is there a difference between non-functional and abandoned? What you're asking is if non-functional means they may let one rest for a year, I mean, for whatever reason, and then decide to start it up again. And it, I mean, I don't know if that happens or not, which that would say it's in a category that it's non-functional. But if a tower is actually abandoned, then it's, I would say that means it's not going to be used again.
And Lisa,
sure.
You want to fill us in? Because you had kind of said that these are used in the beginning stages.
Well, they're used also throughout the project. Many times they're converted over to measuring stations, too. When the commission had discussion on this particular matter, they discussed the fact that it really is the negotiation between the landowner themselves, you know, to clearly state how long that they would want to put that up. So commission placed the arrangement between the developer and the landowner and didn't choose to put county, you know, jurisdiction or regulations over that Met Tower. So...
Any additional discussion or questions? Mr. Juergens.
And what she just said made sense because we had one of the, or my son had one of those on his location down in the southwest, and that was an agreement between the landowner and the people that put the tower up. You know, I'm sure they had to have a permit, but that was an agreement there. So anybody in their right mind wouldn't want to leave it set there for 10 years because you got a farm around it, and it was a...
And you're right, Terry, because the incentive comes from the landowner to the developer as far as incentives being paid on a yearly basis. So that way they truly know, you know, what's being, what the tower is used for and it's still usable. But I do know in other cases that those have been converted to measuring towers, too, so depending upon the design.
This particular one I'm talking about was just a... picture of one straight up with guide wires going way out in the field at all locations. So it was it. As soon as you would want it down, I guarantee you.
120 feet. Yeah. So.
Any additional questions or comments?
The there was concern that when this company went to this county about getting it taken down because these things stay up a long time. And one of the reassurances was they don't use it that long and that it could be taken down. And so if that is the case, then...
Does the landowner in that agreement, they get paid to have it there?
Yep, on a yearly basis. So usually it's a one-time fee and then a yearly, you know, gratuity of some sort that they've negotiated out. But I have seen the terms where, you know, sometimes it's limited to be renegotiated after 2 years or 3 years of non-operational. But, again, leaving that negotiation up, to the landowner and the developer and choosing not to write in that the county be involved in that.
Any additional comment? Mr. Lytle.
Whether it's written the way it starts out or Emily's change, either way, is this something that Terry, I don't know if Terry was saying that this is something better left to be between the landowner and them and not, are you saying that this shouldn't even be in there, period?
What I feel, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm wondering the same thing. Is this something that...
The whole item or the last line?
Yeah, the whole item. Because that's going to be another thing that your P&Z administrator would have to keep on top of. Then on.
I would say you're going to have the item in...
Tower cell.
14.
Except with whatever towers. I guess, you know, as you look forward, we need to be consistent with whatever towers, you know, telecommunication towers that are up. This is below the FAA standards, so it's allowable by means.
I would contend, though, that item 13 has to be there in some form because there has to be a conditional use for that tower. I don't think the P&Z would want to get rid of that.
We would not, because that's the heads up, you know, to our community, too, as to really if we have a particular company that is interested in, you know, coming in to negotiate land leases. So
as written, Lisa, is that, as it was written before, is that how the rest of them are? If they're non-functional for 2 years, they're torn down?
Most generally, of the land negotiations, you know, contracts that the commission studied, they usually do have a provision in there, but I don't know in this particular case on the one that's up, you know, in on Scully's ground. I don't recall that one. So, but again, if they're converted over to measuring stations, you know, that's the big thing, that it does have some incentive to become a measuring station if a project does become viable, that it does have measuring instruments on there too. So.
Any additional questions?
I get that concept, but then what that company was telling that other county was also incorrect.
All right. With that, we have a motion by Axby, second by Byers, to delete that last line and change the wording to as she read, which basically says we will notify the zoning coordinator when something's built and they have 3 years to take it back down. Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, just to clarify, so what you were insinuating or stating is that this would be comparable to a comms tower, and if your concern would be if this type of three-year type period is set, that would be different than the comms and it.
I don't think it's going to be different. I think in this particular case, any time that you place restrictions on any kind of tower, regardless if it's non-operational, then maybe if this goes through, we need to be consistent with, you know, internet towers and so forth. If they're non-operational, that there's a reporting system. So. That's why, again, I left it up to, you know, landowners' negotiation.
I guess that's kind of the way I would lean too. Is let the if the landowner is going to get money for it, even if it's not doing anything, as long as the person who owns the ground under it's getting paid. Ms. Axby,
devil's advocate on that here. If we're going to be consistent, then there should all. I mean. If we're talking about non-functional towers and having them removed, we already have it in there that they have to be removed after 2 years. Do we have that on other towers?
We have none that are not functionable right now.
You were just talking about consistency. So if we're going to be consistent, then that is already in there, that if they are non-functional, it will be removed.
I think the biggest thing, Emily, is the checks and balances to go around and check all the operations of every tower out there, whether Gage County has their instruments on, you know, for First Wireless or whatever it might be. As we move forward and have internet companies come forward, you know, it's that checks and balances as to, is it still operational? So we're going to have to put a system in place to make sure that they report yearly.
But what I'm saying is that that is already here. So if we're not consistent with having it in the other ones, it's not changing anything.
But again, if someone wants to put an internet tower on my property, I'm going to negotiate, you know, a income coming off of that on a yearly lease basis also. So I've left that negotiation up to landowner and tower owner too. So that's why we compared this to the two systems together. So.
I will say there's a tower by me that's technically non-functional. It's an old cell tower, and it just sits there. It's usable, though. It's just not being used, and they still do collect a payment. The landowner collects a payment for that tower still, even though it's technically just sitting there with a flashing beacon on it that gets lost sometimes. Any additional discussion on this amendment to the motion? All right, I would ask you to vote. We have three in favor with four against. Haxby, Dorn, and Byers voting yay. Juergens, Schuler, Thiemann, and Lytle voting nay. Motion amendment to the motion fails.
So I have a question. We then still have no solution to this issue. How do we determine if it's non-functional?
Lisa, that would be a question for you. What is the determination of a Met Tower being non-functional?
So up to the time that a project comes in, Emily, is what you're referring to. So they would be gathering the information. So I would suppose we would start a reporting process once we have a permit come in. And then in the permitting application process, just ask for them to continue to give us operational reports every 6 months in the application process. So 6 months is sufficient for you, or, you know, so that in 6 months increments, then we would know, have a progress report.
So for towers that go in, they'd have to give us a report every 6 months to prove that they're functioning.
In the application process, you know, they come in, apply for the application, then the application can be contingent upon six-month updates of viability of collection of services. And again, as we look forward to internet towers and so forth being added, that might be something that we want to also add to the application process.
So if we, because right now, if a tower is non-functional, what time frame would you consider a tower non-functional? Is it six months of use? Is it 2 months of use? I mean, it's just so vague. I'm just trying to figure out a way to clear it.
I would assume if a tower developer came in and reported that this 6 months it wasn't operationable, the next six-month report states that it is, then as long as they're operationable somewhere on a six-month report.
So it's indefinite.
It is now. Well,
I mean, they could power it on once and then.
Yeah, I'm not sure the information that is gathered from that particular tower would be shared with us, you know, in the application process. That I don't know. So
I guess it probably wouldn't be, because they give competitors an edge.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to outlay the investment to do the tower, to do the testing. They just get the information.
Right. So, I mean, they could put a monitoring station up there, you know, and that would make it a usable tower, you know, too. So,
do you have an idea what makes it a non-operational?
That's what I'm asking. That's the reason I came up with my suggestion, because it would take out this whole question of it being non-functional.
Is your fear like it being a not safe?
Well, if it's left there, and you're saying that it has to be non-functional to be taken down, all you have to do is turn it on one day, and you're considered non-functional, and you don't have to take it down.
I mean, how much money are we talking about putting up a tower?
I don't know. It's got to be expensive.
About $35,000 to put a Met tower up. That's not with the land negotiation. I don't know on that.
It's
part.
A significant investment,
right,
on the part of the people looking at they're going to develop or not.
Is your concern the safety of the tower, though? I mean, if there's a tower
if it's not functional, why would they be servicing it?
Maybe we should put it. What about putting a different word in? Instead of functional,
abandoned
or unstable, or if your worry is that it's going to fall,
that you're trying to find something projecting into the future with a black and white litmus test.
Yeah,
that don't work well.
So
it's just all
because you're always going to have a situation developed that says we need to look at some funding or whatever it is. We need to extend this a little while. And like Mr. Jurgens said, it's between the person, the two contracting parties. They're going to have to sit back down and say, this is going a little longer than we thought.
Is the landowner still getting paid for it, correct?
Yeah. Unless they...
Do they pay property taxes on that?
They pay personal property on the tower.
Property tax.
Then why do we want to take it down? Let them keep paying taxes on it. If they get tired of paying taxes, they'll take it down.
Yep. It's no benefit to them.
Right.
Do you have another proposal on this one?
Just a question. If you have a decrepit, rundown house, are the taxes being paid?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Well, then why don't we just leave those and just leave them for everybody to see all the time?
Well, we're not making people tear down abandoned buildings either.
Yeah, we do.
And those create an issue more than this tower would, as far as locations for drugs to be produced and injuries to happen, and it's a safety issue.
Abandoned farm stands. Climb the tower and see if anyone's coming.
That's right. You have a lookout. Yeah. But, I mean, that's a whole other subject. But if you're going to bring up abandoned buildings.
Well, you're talking about.
Well, we're getting off track here, though.
Yeah.
On this one, do you have a different proposal?
I have one more.
On this one?
I don't have that. I don't. I mean, that was my solution for.
I see where you're going with
out of it, so.
I see where you're going on 13.
Anybody else has an idea?
Mr. Chairman, as zoning administrator, I would take special note to the fact of, you know, possibly and through the application process, we need to have 6-month updates, you know, as far as, you know, the operations of that. That's something that we could certainly look at is 6-month reports of what the purpose through that entirety 6 months. What was going on? It could be a generalized statement, but at least then we would have something to add to that application.
Would the board have ability to add something like that or at least ask for something like that through permitting?
Yes. So you can see in the application process, you know, that we could add that in the application process as to month or 6-month updates or whatever you choose to do.
So I just want to point that out for you. Ms. Haxby, too. I talked to Jeff Argo this morning, and he said some of the stuff they intentionally left a little more open. So on an individual basis, on a permit, they can tighten things or loosen them up again. But that was kind of some of Jeff's thoughts.
And there is always the option, as any permit, as a commission has the opportunity to place conditions or requirements to the application process to help protect, you know, as hearing through the process, and you as the board also have the opportunity to play certain conditions.
That puts a lot of pressure on a board to make sure they catch those things too.
Welcome. That's how it is. So
well, it's
the requirements of
take care
a certain
of it here.
Concern of this constituents of the taxpayers is a certain thing, yeah.
And we're involved in a lot of this, but I do like the thought. I guess if a tower is up or not, it doesn't bother me. If Terry's getting a check for a tower being up, while there's already other towers, he might not be getting anything for. I guess I could see some benefit to that.
We're getting a check for it too. The county.
The tax collecting agencies always get a check for something. Move on. Sorry, Emily.
I'll take any other ideas. I said I'd take any other ideas.
Anybody else, I shouldn't just ask you, but any of the other board have any other items they want to talk about specifically?
I have one more. Page 18.
Page 18. Is this your note, Don?
It's what you guys earned at the meeting for Roger, that red.
Are they already swapped or no?
No. This is what was written.
There's a side note on the bottom of this to possibly switch items B and C. I don't think we need to vote on that, just to switch the placement of those two. So the order would read A, C, B.
That was something.
Switch the paragraphs. I think that was just a discussion that the board
had. That was something Roger was
swap those paragraphs. Yeah. Does anyone have an issue with that?
Because right now, the way you had read it was that it was the wrong way, because with this, it was following the complaints. And so if we have the complaints following that, then we're clear.
Does anyone have an issue with just swapping those paragraphs?
No.
C becomes B and B becomes C?
Yep.
Right. So it would be ACB. I mean, of course, we wouldn't write it that way. The letter would change, but that's okay. Let's just assume we're going to do that then, or let's not assume. Let's just swap those, and that's an easy one. Okay, that went really smooth for me. Now, what do you have, Emily?
Thanks. The only thing on here was the on 1A where it says 5. DBA maximum 10-minute LEQ. I was trying to last time change more of it. I think in this instance I would like to just scratch 5 and make that 3. That was the Lancaster Board Health recommendation for that, and I want to read something because I will never be able to explain it correctly here. Because sound is not linear, so when you increase the numbers, it doesn't just ride on a straight line, it's exponential. So, let's see here. When a sound is doubled, it is equated to the rise of 3 dB, so 3 decibels. A small increase in number of decibels results in a huge change in the amount of noise, and as such, the potential to cause damage to your hearing. So the 3 dB rule is important to remember when you measure noise as well as analyze and predict individual exposure. Every 3 decibels change represents a doubling or halving of sound energy. So every 3 decibels, you are doubling the sound that you hear. So I understand that 5 is not that much different than 3, but it's exponential. So you are doubling the sound already if we set that to 3 for allowable sound above or below.
So you're doubling the sound if you leave it at 5 versus
No, you're
3.
More than doubling the sound at 5. You're almost quadrupling because it's hard to... How do you figure that? Because three decibels is doubling sound, and you are almost at 6 decibels here, so you'd be almost quadrupling the sound allowable. So 3 decibels is doubling. It's hard. I'm not a sound expert.
I guess I'd have to hear the sound.
It's just called the 3 dB rule.
You can't pick it up.
That's what I figured.
There, you can pick it up.
There are a lot smarter people that look into this than me, especially on sound. I have to read a lot to figure it out, and that was the recommendation. So I would like to strike 5 and make 3. I make that a motion. I move to strike 5 and make that 3.
I have a motion by Haxby to change the maximum 10-minute LEQ allowed above ambient noise level to go from 5 to 3 as per Lancaster Health Board?
That was the health board recommendation was 3.
But the county hasn't approved it.
The county went against the health board recommendation.
So we have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any additional discussion?
Just like to point out, which is crazy, because the health board also recommended masks, and there's still a mask mandate in Lancaster County. So,
are you saying that we shouldn't follow the health board?
They pick and choose. So,
Mr. Lyle,
why is there even? What's the need for the 3 or the 5 over?
It's the average. So when things get so if wind picks up over a 10-minute period, you're allowed to increase it by that much.
So it's allowing for speed change.
It's allowance, yes.
Storms
are not even in here. That's covered something separate.
I guess my question might be for Lisa. As you guys talked about this, so as wind speed changes, just what you hear in your ears and the noise from the wind is louder, is that accounted for outside of what the turbine's causing?
That particular clause is allowing then ambient noise.
From the wind itself or from the wind off the tower?
Everything involved. You're standing at one point. And that allows for the allowance of the 3 in this particular case to go above. Honestly, the conversations that the commission had alluded to, first of all, you know, your setbacks pretty well would take care of that. Right now, you've set a 1-mile setback, so I don't really see that being an issue, even if it is lowered. So with a 1-mile setback from a turbine to a residence. Or from a property line.
I guess I'd have that question for you. 3 decibels is so minute. Is that going to matter at a mile off of a property?
Well, it's not minute one. It is big. It's a exponential. And the bringing up a mile and talking about noise are 2 very separate things.
I don't know how this...
And actually... 40 and 37, actually the company has said that at a mile, you're at that. And actually, it can be over a mile to reach those noise. So saying that we have a mile and that's enough, you're talking about almost the same distance with this noise.
I don't know how accurate this is. My watch has a decibel thing on it. I'm sure it's not completely accurate. But just as we've been talking, we're varying between 50 and 70 decibels. Just in conversation in here. I mean, Mr. Juergens?
Going back to my location again, I have one located 3/8 of a mile from our shop. If the wind direction is coming at you, you can hear it. And I'm talking about 3/8 of a mile, but it's minute. What I'm saying right now is louder than what that noise is on these towers that are up right now.
Sure.
And we're looking at a mile setback and 3-mile setback in lots of cases you would never hear it.
Terry, when you can hear that noise, is it a constant noise?
Yep.
Or is it's constant?
Yep. Vroom, 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 that kind of noise.
It's not like it's there and then gone.
No,
for 15
seconds. If the wind changes or stops, you don't hear. If it's coming the other way, that sound's going that way.
Where is this 5 measured from? I mean, is there a location?
In that particular case, it would be measured at the nearest residence wall, you know. So the measurements would be taken at the part, or in this case, a non-participating residence, first single-family dwelling wall.
So it'd have to study it for each location.
Right, right.
But they do that before the towers are up.
Yep.
So they have a baseline in different wind situations. And this is for a safety afterwards to make sure that it's not...
They can do these studies pre-construction.
How feasible is it to obtain the 3 decibels or even the 5?
I don't know if that correlates.
This is in addition to the... So if we're saying it's going to be 40 decibels or less during the day, 37 or less at night for 10 minutes... This is what we're going to allow it to be louder than that allowed decimal. So this is only for peak times. Sound and stuff's a hard thing to really comprehend. I mean, it's a tough one. Any additional discussion on this item, taking this from 5 to 3? Do you happen to know, or anyone happen to know, what Lancaster ended up on? I know the Lancaster Health Board said 3 for this.
They still have 3. It's just they changed your decibel levels.
What are their decibel levels?
They went to 42 day and night.
Across the board, right?
Yep.
Well, they went 42 across the board, so day and night's exact same.
They did that against the health board, against the planning and zoning, and against the health board recommendation to try to accommodate the company.
And they are at 3 for this one, though.
Yeah,
in the Lancaster regs,
I believe they are at 3.
All right. Any additional discussion on this amendment to the proposal? We have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. I guess I'm under the opinion that this is such a minute difference. I guess it doesn't make much difference. But to everyone,
question.
Please vote. 5 in favor, with Juergens and Schuler voting nay. Motion carries. This will change page 18, item 1A to 3, dBA maximum. 10-minute LEQ allowed above ambient noise level. And we will also make that administrative change. Paragraph B and C will just swap positions. Does anyone have any additional changes that they would like to see made, or anything else they would like to discuss on this, these proposed changes on, or any of these amendments to the motion?
I guess all I can I will say that it seems like, or in my opinion, these amendments just further restrict, very restrictive on wind regulation, that we will never have a wind farm in the entire county as it is set up today. And that's where I'd say the south half of the county needs to have different zoning. I understand the reasoning behind the north half, but this is for the entire county at the present time, and feel that we need to have separate zoning for the south half.
As the regulations sit right now, it is left up to community decision the mile setback is to non-participants, and so if a community feels a certain way and wishes to have these put in their area, become participants. I mean, if the south, if the, as you say, the south half,
well, then it requires,
then
it requires the company to obtain more participants.
Right. They'd have to pay more people or get more people on board. You're right. And that's a really good point. Even though these restrictions, I'll agree with you, are more restrictive, if an area is in favor of these, it would, for lack of a better term, spread the wealth. They'd have to go around and obtain contracts with more people. You are right. They are more restrictive if an area is really in favor of that, though they could still obtain these. Am I saying this? Is this correct what I'm saying, Lisa? They can still, if they could come into an area, get people to sign off, landowners to sign off on this.
But it decreases the chances of getting a wind tower.
If people aren't in favor of them, yes. If people are against them in an area.
And I think our wind people are very much in favor of this.
Depends on which wind people.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
who's
depending
wind
on
people.
They're anti-wind.
Those are the ones I'm referring to.
Okay. I know we may be ready to vote on this. We really need to have Roger go through and review all this and make sure we aren't doing anything that we aren't legally able to.
There's a couple things that, again, that I've gone through, like making crimes, civil actions.
We pulled that stuff all out, though, correct?
Yeah, no, and that's, okay. Well, some we have, and there's some that we're still working on language as far as the bond, that kind of stuff, because I've talked with some financial people, and we can't require something that you can't get. And it's been a while since I've been working with banks to see how that's phrased. But we'll work with that. Because that certainly has I think that's probably one of the more important
right.
situations as far as when you take them down and they're no longer being used. That's a lot of money, and that's what we're finding in some of those areas in California that's had them for 25, 30 years. And they don't have any money to take them down. So that one's going to take a little pin. We'll have something.
Find somebody out in California.
I would California. Strongly encourage everyone to read through these, see if there's any additional changes that any of you would like to make. I'd really like to see a vote on this on the 17th.
January?
I would.
Yeah.
October is when I was hoping.
January.
I would plan to vote on this the 17th in one form or another. If the current motion fails or if we make amendment, I'd say if there's any other amendments we want to make to the motion on the table, I'd say we make those changes at that point in time. If that one fails, I'm probably going to make you guys sit here, and we're going to go through these until we figure it out, if at all possible.
We'll be voting on the full package with the changes that were made.
Right. There's a
and agreed. Okay.
So right now what we have is the recommendation from PNZ with amendments. Each of those amendments we have voted on along the way, but we have
to. That the way that tally went then is the way it's going to be
That's what's in here now. Now, at the end, we'll vote on that total package of all those pieces that we've put in. Mm-hmm. If that fails, then we'll start through it again, and we have to get to a package that we can all agree on.
So I can make a motion to accept what was printed?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Well, you don't have the final document in front of you. We've made changes today.
We just have to wait. I think we still have to wait to get Roger's recommendations.
Well,
we probably don't have to, but we probably should, shouldn't we?
You can do what you want.
Uh-oh, that's when Roger puts his hands up.
If Eddie wants to do it, that's one less thing I got to worry about between now and 17th. Quite frankly, we spent 2 years on this stuff, and P&Z spent longer. and I'll just be quiet about it.
I will say I'd prefer to know whether we're going to split the county by zoning before we vote on this. Makes a difference.
I will say we won't have that done. If it does happen somewhere in the future, it won't be done before we vote on this.
Okay, I'm just expressing.
Mr. Juergens.
I guess I don't see any reason to delay it. I would just soon vote on the PAGES as we have it. Everybody's been through it many times. And I'll just give you my take on it. I voted against some of these changes, but the majority won. So I will vote for this package as presented.
I would like to at least wait 2 weeks and let Roger get through it because he was going to go through some verbiage to make sure that it's correct. Right now we do have a final draft that we did vote on four or five meetings ago. So we have that package already plus that one change with changing 5 to 3. So if he could review it, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with him going over the words before we take a final vote in 2 weeks.
I'm sorry, Ms. Axby. Could you repeat that for me real quick? I'm sorry. I was talking to Roger. I wasn't trying to ignore you.
No, I was just saying I would feel a lot more comfortable taking a final vote. We do have a draft right now. That was voted on last time, so we do have a draft. That was what we have here. All we're changing is that 5 to 3 at this point. So that draft is still very close. Roger can finish reviewing it, making sure that the words are written correctly, and take a final vote in 2 weeks.
We have a motion by Dorn. We do not have a second right now. He didn't formally say it. So without a second, we would.
It's went through planning zoning for years. I mean, these people aren't stupid. I'm sure they went through all
there are some
do's and don'ts.
There are some questions that I have in here that he was going to go over. With the forming the escrow accounts and bonds, and that's why I want him or wanted to give him
There are some items that are either ors here right now. It says it would read as one or the other.
Eddie, do you want to draw your motion or? If there's some language that has to be looked at,
I want to have it done as well. There's a.
There's this one that's an or.
I'm all for it.
You know
about
it.
Well,
and then just some verbiage in here that he was supposed to look over.
Are the wind regulations people okay with this?
That's two choices.
No, it's
you could do either.
Either or, so you have to decide.
Okay. Are you okay? Are you okay with this?
Me?
Eddie?
Oh, I'm not part of this.
Eddie, Terry, you'll withdraw your second or?
Well, I'll ask what I.
Yeah,
what
I'll
I,
withdraw it.
With reservation, I know. I think we've waited this long. It'd be
I'll
better.
I'll withdraw my second.
Roger might find something that we really need to look at, and if
no, I won't.
Well, Roger might keep us out of trouble somewhere else. I mean, we've waited this long. I really want it done as well, but this gives you guys 2 more weeks. Read through this, see if there's anything else you want to look at. We'll have it on the agenda on the 17th. Planning to vote on it. If there's any other potential changes.
It was on the agenda today.
What?
That don't mean nothing. It was on the agenda today.
I know. I apologize for that. We will plan to vote on this, though, up, down, sideways, with changes, without changes, on the 17th. And with that, if there's no additional discussion on the wind regs at this time, we'll table that till the 17th. We'll move on to we've got a heck of a meeting today. Discuss and approve or disapprove resolution on establishing new Gage County supervisor district boundaries due to census changes. You all have a couple options in front of you. The top 8.5 by 11 is our current district outlines. There are a couple proposals put forward. Proposal one, to look at proposal one, the change would be to District 6 and District 1. District 6 would grow to include all of Logan and 1 mile of Philly. District 1 would shrink by that amount. Option 2, we would move into District 7 with District 6. District 1 would decrease in size by half a township in Highland in the north, and District 2 would increase by that amount and decrease in Lincoln Township. We had some discussion on this Monday morning. Mr. Schuler preferred Proposal 2, keeping his district further south. I guess I argued for Option 1, keeping all the everything would stay the same in Option 1, other than we would disrupt some of the population in District 1 and 6. But the other districts would remain the same. We'd be looking at 1 mile, the southern 1 mile of Philly Township, and increasing Mr. Schuler's district by that 1 mile in Philly and half of Logan Township. I guess I'll open this up for discussion.
Did G-Works discuss this with anybody here at the board as far as their recommendation?
With Dawn, they've been going back and forth. If you remember, we paid G-Works additional money to look at different ways to make this work.
With our input as we go, right?
We have to approve it. They're going to give us options, and then we can approve or disapprove anything. I was in the one day when G-Works was talking to us. The only option that was on the table at that time was 1. And as they talked to change things up, I mean, Option 1 seemed clean and straightforward. Option 2 is one they gave us later, which it basically trying to come up with a different way to make things work. There's a lot more moving parts on Proposal 2, I guess. There's so much more shifting of boundaries. It didn't come up right away just because there's so many more boundaries that shift in Proposal 2, but at least that way there is an option. Otherwise, it was just the straightforward route. I guess if you go with the most simple, straightforward one, it was just, to them, it was obvious this is the way you go. Proposal 2 gives some outside idea of what else could be done.
Was there any other proposals?
There's not.
They did not give us anything else.
Okay. Do we have an opportunity to
It has to do with your census tracts and the need to try to create as straight and clean lines as possible, and that was what they looked at. And he did try some different ways because you have to pull your numbers from places that you can pull your numbers, but the census tracts aren't straight. So some of them that they showed, you know, you're up and down. Well, you can't have that for voters because that's the purpose.
Yeah, you need straight lines.
So that was why these ended up the way they did.
Yeah. You can do it a lot of different ways, but as there's housing groups and stuff, you start making straight lines on a map and making things fit within a few percent is tougher than it seems, and that's why we paid people that do that to do that.
We paid to be able to have participate.
And we did. I mean, we did. Well, we asked questions.
We didn't.
Well, it wasn't for you guys to set up here with them.
Why not?
But because that wasn't
that what service. That service, there was two choices. There was your basic, and then there was the advanced. Mm-hmm. And if we would have went with the basic, you would have had the one and done. There would have been no choice.
It would have been proposal
they
one.
Did I think she went back and asked for a second option, and that's what we did pay for. We did get a second option. So we're looking at those two options here.
Yeah. But weren't we didn't we pay to have the opportunity to have a voice?
And we did. We did.
Well, who's we? I didn't.
Well,
what do you want, Don?
Well, I'd like to sit down with the G-Works person and have them explain. And if there's any other options that we as a board may want to look at that they can answer questions for us. That's what we paid for, as far as I'm concerned. That was my interpretation.
But it was, but
we could carve stuff up. I mean,
I'm not saying carve it up.
What else would you do, Don?
Yeah, do you have something that you'd like, a different direction you'd like to go?
Well, I think we need to preserve the community interest. And by going further north with Logan, it does not preserve the community interest in the south half of the county. And it doesn't for them in Logan Township either. The community
and
interest.
And you say you aren't, but you're proposing to carve it up.
That ain't carving it up.
Well, proposal two does that.
Yes.
So then what else would you want them to do?
Well, I just thought, since we paid for it, let's have a little discussion with them to learn from this. We only do it once every 10 years.
The point is to not create a lot of different lines. So they did look at the census tracts. They have to get so many numbers. And what we followed on here, and they went by what the legislation has kind of looked at with the plus or minus 5%. They didn't believe that is a law, but that's kind of what the legislation, so that's kind of what they followed as a rule of thumb to try to even these out. Our total numbers shrunk for our population. So they tried to make it as clean and grab the numbers they needed as possible. So
okay.
I don't know how to explain any more than what they explained to me.
I would change it. But I guess if I would like to have the opportunity to ask G-Works, what's it do, for example, if we change Eric's area to the north half of Riverside and put south half of Riverside in with Terry's area, at the present time?
I could.
And I'm sure it will add population.
I could tell you that it would. It would decrease my district in population to where we're out of sorts.
You would have more of Beatrice.
No, I've already got the north half of Riverside.
No, you don't. You got the east half.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking at the other proposal.
See what you're saying.
I'm just throwing that out there as a thought. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't go with one of these.
So you want to
give? We paid extra to have some voice in this, so why not research some different avenues?
Another piece would be not changing who's. So if you're in a district, that's why proposal one was so straightforward and common sense. It displaces the fewest number of people. It changes the fewest number of people from one district, one representative to another. Proposal one takes the only people that are really displaced on proposal one are some in Logan. You become their representative and the southern mile of Philly. Yeah. So other than people in half a township for you and Eddie, no one else is displaced. Everyone else has the same representative, the same person they voted for.
You know, I mean, that's if you're afraid of change, I can understand that. But
I don't think that's at all.
I'm just I would like to know if you took for one thing, this is for community preservation and interest. The city of Beatrice and the people in Beatrice
are good.
Their representative right now lives at Odell. Are they getting Or if the other, or the other way around, if someone from Beatrice was elected, how well does that represent the community and the interest of the people in those districts?
Well, they did vote for him.
Mr. Juergens.
Donnie, look at it this way. I'm looking at Proposal 1. If Proposal 2 would go, I mean, you're talking about community, half of those people, you know, are connected to Odell. Those half would be gone to this district. So mm-hmm. as far as unity, I mean, to me, after I look at it and study it, on community, the number one would keep that district intact.
Well, Mr. I don't disagree with that, Terry. Yeah.
Mr. Dorn?
Can but I what's ask it do the for the people in Logan?
Well, it'd be hard to answer, but you can try.
They're at the northern part of my district. Do they think that they're getting short on representation since I'm in the southern part of the district?
Well, I can say no because you've taken my phone calls. You're willing to meet with me. You're willing to listen to me. You're able to seek that feedback from your constituents. So,
I don't think it matters where you live. As
Eddie,
long as
how do you think
the
people in the north half of the Logan Township is going to feel?
What's that?
Because they'll switch to you?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If we're, and I mean, you can look at it from either side. If you're saying that they'll not be happy that you represent them instead of Eddie, we're doing that to fewer people with Proposal 1. If we do that with Proposal 2, we're chopping 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 townships we're changing then. So we're doing it to fewer. We're changing fewer people's representative and everything with Proposal 1. Proposal 2. And maybe we shouldn't have even done Proposal 2. We are trying to give an option where if you do start carving it up, we could. It's at least an option. Proposal 1 was just the straightforward choice where we have straight lines, we displace fewer people, we change fewer people's representative.
Move to approve Proposal 1.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers. Second by Dorn, with intent to stop me from talking.
So then that would
Are we going to eliminate the opportunity for the public? Has this been presented to the public? Have they seen these lines? We put the wind regulations on the website. How come is this on the website?
I would assume it is not.
Well, I think
is
we should
correct?
Wait until it's no. on the website.
It is not.
So the public has a chance to see this.
Is there any other discussion on districts? And just for the record, this is Resolution 21-20. Mr. Lytle. Oh, I'm sorry.
You've been awfully quiet over there. He's waiting. This is a 10-year deal. I mean, has there ever been public comment for this? I mean...
I'd refer to Dawn on that.
No. Because in the legislature, it's up to the senators to figure that out. It's never open to the public.
And you have to set your
it's open
lines
to the public.
Because...
You're open to talk to the senators
But it's
it,
also...
Right?
Part of this would be trying to make it non-political as well. We're looking at population, not...
Of course.
...politicizing this.
I'm just asking. I don't know how... Did they...
Three hearings, Doug said.
Oh, they had three public hearings?
Yeah, they had one in Kearney, Grand Island, Lincoln, and Omaha. Before.
Yeah. Any additional discussion on the motion to approve Proposal 1 as presented, which would be Resolution 21-20?
I move we table it to allow time for public input.
You'd have to make a motion to amend the...
He can
move to table it during?
He needs a second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Shuler to table this. Do we have a second?
I'll second it for discussion.
We have a motion by Shuler, a second by Haxby to table this for discussion. Any additional discussion on tabling?
My question, or I just want to make sure we're transparent to the public. They did say there was hearings at the legislature level for redistricting. Can I ask?
They had separate hearings before the legislature took it up.
Oh, before they took it up.
So they took their public input ahead of time, and then the legislature came in.
So once they started discussing it, there was no more public input? Kind of.
Other than
phone calls? Yeah, phone calls, right.
Mr. Lytle.
They were still trying to put their proposals together at that point in time. When the state legislature had their meetings across the state, they were still trying to decide how they were going to carve things up, more or less before we would have done our G work stuff.
Have the proposals.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Once they had their proposed amendment or proposed setup, then they didn't have their public hearings or whatever. If I'm right, I mean, just from talking to Tom Brandt, as they went through that process, that's kind of how the discussions I had with him, how it went. They were still trying to figure out how they were going to create their proposals.
Would it be accurate, though, to say that the state does that instead of us using a G-Works, they use state staff to do that?
That I don't know for
certain. I believe
certain.
They do, because I believe Senator Dorn's staff had took time to create something, an option.
Yeah.
There was a computer that they had to go to do it.
Because, again, the state involves people that may lose their district, may lose their representative.
Yeah, they were fighting for...
I mean, when Omaha keeps going like it is, somebody out west sometimes, that's unfortunate, but...
It is a shift. I mean, just like this is a shift.
Well, but nobody's losing, or
a representative.
Losing anybody as far as on a representative.
We could, though.
If you... I'm saying you could.
We have a motion by Shuler and a second by Haxby to table this. Mr. Lytle.
On Monday, I suggested that we would wait the two weeks to vote on this. That way we would have time to discuss with constituents or whatever. But the more I look at it and think about it, I mean, I just don't see any reason to wait the 2 weeks, because it's so clear cut as to one and two, as to the differences in what you would have. I mean, you'd have in proposal one, you got voting districts right now that have multiple choices and things that they have to handle on voting day. Currently you have three, and you would continue to have three. If you went to proposal two, you would add another voting district that would have more things on the ballot that would have to be taken care of, which, hey, small district, I mean, that's why Dawn gets paid the big bucks to be the voting administrator, so that she can make sure none of that gets screwed up. But then also, like, splitting the townships, if townships are a small, a community of sorts, and you're going to split up five different townships in half and have them half going one way, half going the other, where you've got two in proposal one. I just don't see any conversation that's going to be had in the next 2 weeks that this needs to be delayed.
And as at the state level, I mean, Ms. Haxby and Mr. Shuler, they both are changing or expanding or moving. I mean, it's just like at the state level, it's totally acceptable for you guys to lobby and try to get that bigger area or a different area that you want or don't want. I mean, I totally get it. Proposal two might be a stretch where we tried to just come up with an option, but we do have a motion by Shuler and a second by Haxby to table this. I'm going to have you vote. A vote in favor will table this for, what was your motion, Donnie, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
A vote in favor will table this for 2 weeks. A vote against will take us back to the original motion. So I would ask you to vote. Doggone it. 6 against, with Mr. Shuler voting in favor, motion fails to table. And I didn't change my vote. I just went too far to abstain. We're back to the motion to approve proposal one, which is Resolution 21-20, motion by Byer, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this one before we vote? A vote in favor would approve Proposal 1 for redistricting lines, which basically makes a change to the northern half of Logan Township and southern 1 mile of Philly Township going to District 6 from District 1. Seeing none, please vote. Vote is 6 in favor, with Mr. Schuler voting nay. Motion carries. We've got one more item on here before a closed session. This is discussion on county board meeting times. This was requested by Mr. Schuler at our last board meeting. And it's been brought up by other members in the past. I guess I will give you the floor, Mr. Schuler, to give your proposal.
Well, I'd like us to consider meeting times that better accommodates the taxpayers to attend our meetings. So I'd suggest a 4:30, say perhaps starting time, 4:30 or 5, 4:30 start the equalization.
In the morning? Because that would really accommodate.
No, in the afternoon.
Not to be here that early in the morning.
Neither would I.
I do too.
So that's what I'm proposing. I guess since we do have members of the community, the taxpayers here, I'd like to hear your input, or feel free to give input. We serve the public. It's not the other way around. I just want to provide more opportunity for taxpayers to attend our meetings. Too many people that I've talked to say that, well, I can't go. I'd love to, but I've got my factory job to go to, and you don't get off work to go. I don't care how bad you want it.
Okay. Two things. One is, I think we do require people that are staffed during our meetings to be here. So that would be after hours or extra hours then for the county. And then two, I believe the City of Beatrice meetings are in the evenings already, and I don't think their attendance has increased.
But they have their is on broadcast, and people can watch it at home.
That's something I would like to do. I would like to be streaming these.
But even if we stream them, people aren't going to be able. Majority of the people aren't going to be able to watch them because they're going to be at work.
I think our meeting times are very appropriate. They have worked for the members of this community. When I hear people that have an issue, they can take the time to come in to visit with us. And I think our county board meeting times are appropriate, and I think they should say the same.
Mr. Lytle?
Overall, I do agree with Denny. I do believe that it does limit the amount of people that are capable of running for these positions.
That's true.
I do believe that that does limit who you have available to run for the county board positions. But I do think that it's appropriate to do it during the day. 10 years ago, I think I argued differently. I think we tried to do something in the evening and tried to make it easier, but I just don't know that that would make a big difference as far as people that would be involved with the structure and people that would come. And I mean, you see it today. You've got people sitting here today that are here, but I'm pretty sure that these guys would have been here no matter what time of day it was, whether it was 4:30 a.m. or not. But the other thing that I will say is I think that we've proven that we can run our meetings.
How's that reach so far?
I bet you can, Lisa. Thank you. It was
you can't do the auto start.
I think we have proven, though, that we can effectively run our meetings outside of the 8-to-5 window that in the past we've been told that we really needed to stay inside of. And I do think it is something that we should look at quarterly maybe or something like that to run an evening meeting or something like that, maybe as a pilot deal, maybe as just to see how it would work, but to give some of the constituents a different window of opportunity to come to a meeting. So
I thought the same thing with you as far as running people running for these offices too. On the outside, it looks like these jobs where the seven of us sit are daytime once in a while here. These aren't evening jobs. These are during the day. We take some calls and stuff and meet with constituents at night, but these positions are daytime jobs.
Well, I want to clarify, I'm not proposing an evening meeting. I'm proposing a late afternoon meeting.
4:30 is evening.
Not for me.
I haven't received one complaint in all the years I've served on this board that our meeting times are inappropriate and people haven't had an opportunity to be here.
And that's a lot of
years. Well, I've heard just the opposite. I've heard just the opposite. And this was before I was even on the board. I've heard continuous complaints about I can't get to a board meeting. I wish I could go. Maybe they wouldn't anyway, but I guess I feel like we need to allow that opportunity. And if they don't show up, well, then we've done our job. We've made it. We've accommodated the taxpayers.
Mr. Lytle.
What Denny just said, I was the one of the vocal ones as far as doing evening meetings, and I did not have anybody reach out to me and say that's a great idea or anything like that. So what Denny's saying, I can say that I've been pretty much the same. I've not heard a whole lot of people. If it has been, it's been less than one hand that would have said that they wanted evening or different time.
How would anybody feel about a 6-month trial period?
With?
Well, a 4:30 meeting. And end at 6 months, and then make a decision on whether it was received well or not.
It'd be harder for our news media coming late. The people who work for us here in the courthouse that are off at 4:30, and then they've got to come back to do a report in the evening or sit in on a meeting. The way it is now, it's set up while people are working and part of our county.
The workers are paid.
I see no reason to change.
The workers are paid by the taxpayers. They work for the taxpayers. We work for the taxpayers.
And I have no complaint from the taxpayer.
But yeah.
Donnie, I do like it when you say stuff I agree with, though, and I do agree with you on the we do work for the taxpayer. I don't see a lot of support for changing times right now. I mean, that's something we can continue because that is a conversation we've had in the past. Ms. Haxby?
I was just saying for me personally, for being here, my kids are at school during this time. 4:30 is when my kids get home from school.
So if we need to do something that you can't be here.
If you can't, if the meetings change or if in the future it stays at a 4:30 meeting, then that individual shouldn't be running for supervisor if it doesn't accommodate their schedule. And we're doing the same to people that may run, like Gary said, that may be interested in running but can't because of their jobs.
It doesn't matter what time you do that, you always have that issue.
And I'd also people need to know if they run for these positions, these are daytime positions. The hours that I'm here at the courthouse, it's during the day usually, because in the evenings we do talk to constituents on the phone as well as during the day, but 3/4 of what I do with you guys at the county is during the day. It's either with staff or while our staff is at work. So, I mean, if you're running for a county board position, you need to know that that's a daytime position.
Or if you're running for any elected position within this courthouse. Because the people who run these offices would have to stay later in case they're called upon by this board.
And meetings are outside.
That's inappropriate.
And courthouse closes at 5, correct?
Correct.
That's why I say 4:30.
We go a lot longer than a half an hour.
But we can continue discussion on that amongst ourselves, too, if there's other talking. It doesn't seem like a lot of favor on that. We're going to have a closed session. I would ask for a recess at 11:05. We'll recess till 11:10, at which time I'll ask for a motion to go into closed session for personnel. And we will go through the closed session spiel at that time.
Okay, so.
We'll reconvene at 11:15. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 11:15.
So move.
Moved by Dorn, second by Byers. Please vote. 7 in favor. We are in closed session.
Did they do it around?
We'll reconvene at 11:26. I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session.
So move.
Do it around Halloween so it'd scare the crowd.
Moved by Dorn, second by Byers, to come out of closed session at 11:26. Please vote. 7 in favor. Note to the board, Terry was here early and is here the entire time. I would ask if there's nothing else for the board meeting. I would ask for a motion to 11:27.
So moved.
Moved by Shuler.
Done.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of corn to go.
We have a motion. We have a motion. Going once.
He can't leave yet. We don't
going
have a
twice.
Cloudy again.
Last chance for a second. Oh, we really had an adjournment fail.
Impacted.
Okay, with that, we're going to skip that, and we are going to adjourn at 11:27.
Terry, second.